This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Murray, live from the D. I guess live on podcast, however you want to quantify that. Alongside my partner in crime, fresh off of back-to-back 4-1 weeks. He said we want winners. And we got some winners. It is Matt Eumanns. Mr. Eumanns, the week we've been waiting for, week 7, is finally here.
You look live to me, Tim. So we want winners. You know, we said that the last 2 weeks. We got a lot more winners. I think I'm back up to 500 on this podcast. It was a deep hole to dig, but let's keep winning because you're not going to celebrate after a couple good weeks. Got to keep it rolling. This is the time of season where I feel like as a handicapper, you can get in the groove where you get a pretty good read on these teams. You know, in the first month, first couple weeks, guessing a little bit at what you're going to see. And now I feel like you should have a better handle on this. And you get a lot more situational spots pop up as well.
Yeah, and that is certainly something we will hit on. We'll get to the letdown spots, a handful of them this week. But the big games, oh, they are ever so tasty. So let's get it rolling, as we always do, with the best games of the weekend.
The main course.
Yes, indeed. Out in Eugene, Autzen Stadium, Matt Eumanns, for the first time since October 13th, 2018, the Oregon Ducks are a dog at home. They are catching 3 against the Ohio State Buckeyes, number 2 Ohio State at number 3 Oregon. All throughout the summer, this was kind of fluctuating. Oregon won, Ohio State won. The look-ahead line, as Matt Grill told us on VSiN Primetime last week, was Ohio State 2. This got as high as 4.5 this week, Matt. Now is settling in around 3. How do you look at this one? And is this a tasty dog that you're going to be looking to back here?
Well, it's a pretty simple handicap for me. I think the look-ahead line was right. It should be Ohio State 1 or something like that, or a pick'em type of game. What have the Buckeyes done to warrant this number going through the key of 3? To 3.5 or 4 early this week. I took Oregon plus 3.5. I couldn't get to 4 in time. Buckeyes have yet to be tested by an above-average offense. They beat Akron, Western Michigan, Marshall, Michigan State, and Iowa. Tim, how about the fact the Buckeyes have been such slow starters in 4 of those 5 games? Led Akron 7-3 after the first quarter. Marshall 7-7 after the first. Michigan State 3-0 after the first. Iowa 7-0 at halftime. I don't know what the Buckeyes have done at this point to warrant this number being boosted up 2 to 3 points from the look ahead or what the number was over the summer. Yeah, the Ducks have looked sloppy a few times. They've underachieved. They're 1-4 against the spread, but I feel like too many people are dwelling on that. Dylan Gabriel is actually the quarterback I trust a little bit more in this game. 77.8% completions, 11 touchdowns. A year ago at this time, he led Oklahoma on a game-winning drive against Texas. I'll take the nation's number 3 ranked team on a strong home field, getting more than a field goal, and this is one of the easiest calls of the week for me. I'm not saying it's going to be an easy winner, but it's pretty simple to play the home dog here, getting more than 3. Oregon has not been a home underdog, I think, in the last 32 games. So this stops a streak of 32 games in a row of Oregon being a home favorite.
Yeah, and I would certainly lean that way. I took a little nibble on Dylan Gabriel to win the Heisman Trophy last week. I do think that's something you could look at if you're looking for a more exotic way to potentially get involved in this game. Jeremiah Smith, by the way, if you're wondering, his prop numbers, over 70 yards receiving, minus 115 at DraftKings. And if you think he's going to have a big day, 100-plus receiving yards is sitting at plus 275. So Oregon and Ohio State, 7:30 Eastern kickoff on NBC. Can't wait for this one. One of the games of the year. Biggest game of the Big Ten calendar. And I'm saying that over to Wyatt, who sits there as a Michigan fan, because this is the biggest game of the year.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I'm not sure if that's
really
true. Yeah, in a couple weeks, Purdue plays Northwestern.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about that one. That is a good point. All right, let's go to the land of Jimmy Ott, our good friend in Baton Rouge, also at 7:30 on ABC. We've got number 9 Ole Miss taking on number 13 LSU, and LSU coming into this game, another home dog. So you've got a amped up atmosphere. This is believed by many to be the best atmosphere in college football. Death Valley at night, Tiger Stadium, and they're catching 3.5 points. Matt, what say you on Ole Miss and LSU?
Well, I took LSU plus 3.5 here, and this is I don't love this play, but it's a situational spot where I feel like the signs point to the Tigers, right? Brian Kelly had a bye week to prepare for this game. And you give Kelly an extra week to prepare, I like that situation. Also, the Rebels, after that home loss to Kentucky, are now playing back-to-back road games. They were at South Carolina last week and LSU this week. You got a team playing back-to-back road games against a team rested off a bye, really well-coached team with Brian Kelly. Garrett Neusmeyer has not been great so far, but he's been pretty good. 69.7% completions, 15 touchdowns. He has not made negative plays. He's been sacked only twice all season. I've got some concerns here with the LSU, but at 3.5, I'm also playing the home dog here.
Total sitting at 62 at most spots. There's a couple 63s out there. I don't know if Jimmy Ott is pulling a me on his favorite team, but I just texted him and our good friend.
He doesn't like LSU in this game. I was on his radio show today, ESPN Radio Baton Rouge, and he and his co-host are big LSU fans, obviously, graduates and fans. And I always said fans of teams tend to be more skeptical about their teams, right? Our producer, Wyatt Tomchek, is a big Michigan guy. He had to be skeptical about the Wolverines a week ago, going to Washington, right?
Especially when the two knuckleheads he has to listen to pick Washington. Just saying.
But, you know, I don't listen as much to what the fans have to say when they're skeptical about their team. I had Matt Grissom on the Friday night show last week, and Grissom's an excellent college handicapper, baseball, football, basketball. He's an Arkansas fan. I wanted to play Arkansas last week against Tennessee. Thinking about it all week. Ended up not making the play. Had Grissom on the show last Friday night. Typically, he's got a great read on Arkansas games. He came in on Tennessee laying the points on the road. Arkansas won the game straight up. A lot of times, fans of teams are just more skeptical of their team.
I would never say that about Notre Dame. I'm always captain positive.
Yeah, right.
Me and Brad Powers are always very positive about the Irish. But this is what Jimmy told me. Sad state of affairs, but Ole Miss defense way more talented than LSU.
That's true.
Which should never happen. I added the emphasis on which should never happen. But can't wait to watch that one. Make sure you have multiple screens. This is a multiple screen Saturday, no doubt about it. Earlier in the afternoon, not a noon start time. 3:30 Eastern, 12:30 local. There, the State Fair in Dallas. I'm sure, Matt, if you had gone, you'd enjoy yourself some good pickings there with Texas and Oklahoma, some fried food. One of the bigger spreads we will see of the weekend is this is a weekend where we have a lot of single-digit spreads, but right now, Oklahoma catching. You can find a 14.5 out there as we record this, mostly 14s, but Oklahoma is catching 14 or 14.5. Matt, my question to you, are you playing wide receiver for Oklahoma? My God, there is a host of injuries there for this Oklahoma team. And will Texas take advantage of it? Deion Burks officially listed as out. I believe the top five wide receivers for Oklahoma out for this game.
Yeah, that's obviously the biggest negative here. And that concerns me a little bit about the Sooners because, you know, they've got talented wide receivers and they're not going to be on the field. Most of them weren't on the field against Auburn 2 weeks ago either. And it didn't hurt that much, so I'm not gonna prevent that from let that prevent me from making a play here. I actually took Oklahoma plus 14.5. I was waiting to see if this number was gonna go to 15 or maybe even a little bit higher because I thought the betting public was gonna pile on the Longhorns. It hasn't happened. Quinn Ewers expected to be back. I expect him to start a quarterback for the Longhorns. Had an oblique injury. Has not played since September 14th. Tim, I think that's got to be concerning from the Texas perspective that he hadn't played. Ewers has not played in the game in almost a month. I know Arch Manning played well in Ewers' absence, but the opposition was weak. UTSA, UL Monroe, and Mississippi State. Really, Texas has one impressive win, and that was at Michigan. And the truth is, Wolverines are not really that good. So is Texas deserving of the number one ranking? Is it worthy? I don't think we're going to find out in this game. I expect the Longhorns to win, but I also think they're going to have to sweat this one out because Oklahoma's not exactly a powerhouse. You got a freshman quarterback in Michael Hawkins Jr. Still a bit of a mystery, and this is a big stage for him. He passed for 161 yards, ran for 69 and a touchdown in his first start at Auburn a couple weeks ago. But the strength of this Oklahoma team is the defense. Sooners allowing 16 points per game. I thought they did a nice job controlling the Tennessee offense a few weeks ago. when the quarterback Jackson Arnold was busy imploding and trying to give the game away. Sooners are 7-3 in the past 10 meetings between these teams. Only one of those losses by more than 7 points. I'm taking the points here with the Sooners. You can find 14.5 out there for sure. And if you can't find it at your book today, you're probably going to find it by Saturday, because I think the public's going to bet number one ranked Texas here. And I'm going to play the dog. I think that the fact Quinn Ewers has not played in the game for a month has got to be a little bit of a concern to Steve Sarkisian and Texas.
Dogs will be barking. Matt Eumanns on three dogs right out of the chute, as he will be taking the points with Oregon, LSU, and with Oklahoma. Last year, Oklahoma, Matt, getting the victory over Texas. Now, Dylan Gabriel, who you're hoping takes care of business against Ohio State, he will be the quarterback for Oregon today, on Saturday, and Oklahoma going with the freshman in Hawkins. 34-30, the final score. And, you know, outside of the 2002 Texas obliteration of Oklahoma, this has been a relatively closely contested series all the way back to 2013. So right now, sitting at 14. We're going to get into a whole bunch of other games on the other side of the break. Maybe a good idea. The Sigma Derby here at the D.
No, Tim, pretend those are our fans.
Oh, that's
our
right. Fans here. Yeah, they want more winners. That's what they've been telling us. We want more winners here as we continue on the College Football Betting Podcast. Will the dog be barking out in the Coliseum? What about West Virginia? Will they hand Iowa State their first loss of the year? All of those games and plenty more. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
We keep it rolling here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, getting you ready for a absolutely loaded week number 7. We just went through three of the top 25 matchups, and we thought this would be a top 25 matchup. Unfortunately, the USC Trojans had other ideas as they went out to the Twin Cities. It came up short and lost to Minnesota 24-17. We were fine with that, Matt, as both you and I, as best bets last week, had Minnesota plus the 8.5. Do we now believe in the men of Troy as they welcome in Penn State? How about this nugget that's been going around the interwebs all week? Big Ten teams this year crossing two time zones, 1-8 straight up. And that, of course, would be Ohio State. That would also be Penn State, who Jimmy Franklin, none too pleased about the small runway in State College as they had to get on buses and go down to Harrisburg so they could fly out to L.A. earlier this week.
Yeah, nothing like the complaints of multimillionaires, right? No sympathy for James Franklin. And you would think Penn State's travel is going to be okay here. I don't think that's going to be the reason the Nittany Lions fail to win or cover at USC. Hey, the betting market, in my opinion, has downgraded USC a little bit too much. They dropped Big Ten games at Minnesota, at Michigan. Those are understandable losses. In fact, Tim, if you watch the replay 10 times, are you going to be able to find conclusive evidence that the Minnesota quarterback, Max Brosmer, actually crossed the goal line last week against USC? How was that call overturned? Now, I'm not saying that USC deserved to win the game, but how was that call overturned?
Yeah, it's pretty wild, and you know, I'm sure you'll get to it, but you look at just how this game played out, and once again, you and I aren't going to apologize. And Minnesota, from a betting standpoint, was the right side.
No doubt about it.
But did they really outplay USC to get the victory? No, and Parker Fleming, my buddy, who has the Twitter handle at StatsOWar, said that USC was basically the least likely of teams to lose based off of the numbers, net success ratings that he puts out there. So All that being said, I think I know where you're headed with this one as Penn State comes to town as a 4.5-point favorite.
Yeah, I like USC here. Trojans loaded with talent. Miller Moss been playing well at quarterback. Woody Marks, running back, can be a battering ram. You got Jacoby Lane, Zachariah Branch, receiver. Plenty of talent here with USC. It's not like they're going to be at a talent disadvantage against Penn State. The defense is also improving on the USC side. I got to tell you, there's been a lot of talk about Oregon being a little sloppy early in the season. And I made the same point about Ohio State and the slow starts and how things have not been as impressive when you actually watch the games as you might think if you just look at the box scores, you look at the games on paper. Penn State rushed for 85 yards last week against UCLA, and that's in Happy Valley. There's something troubling about that when Penn State can't get its running game going against that mediocre UCLA defense. This could be the Nittany Lions' toughest test yet. I think USC is a live home dog here. I'm going with better coach Lincoln Riley off a loss. And like you said, I'm unlike others, I'm not really downgrading USC for the losses at Michigan. And Minnesota could have easily won both of those games.
Yeah, I'm going to be with you. It's not going to be an official play, but I'm going to tail it. I'm going to take USC. And I think some first half, too, USC plus three would be the way that I would look. Maybe split my unit on that. But I agree. I think USC plus the 5 or 4.5 now is certainly worth it.
Oh, it's 5.5 early in the week.
Yep. Yeah, so we've seen some movement come in on USC. So a couple of home dogs in Matt's back pocket, and there are a couple of other home dogs that could be barking. Matt just housed some non-spicy food, but you know, normally he is a guy that's going to be coming in and rocking some spicy food before the show. So let's get to those matchups that we love so much.
Muy caliente.
Spicy matchups.
All right, Matt, 8 o'clock Eastern, Morgantown, West Virginia, Fox. This one is very spicy as the West Virginia Mountaineers, they went down to Oklahoma State last week. And I thought maybe I'm buying, selling Oklahoma State a little high. No, that team is very off. And West Virginia, you look back to 2 weeks ago, figured some things out against Kansas, able to come back and win that game, Matt. And now they're catching 3 at home against Iowa State. Should be a fun one there in Morgantown. They're calling it the Coal Rush as they'll be wearing these charcoal type of uniforms. Total of 53. Look, Iowa State's got some really good wide receivers, and I do think that West Virginia is going to have their hands full against Noel and Higgins. Both have had over 400 yards receiving so far. Iowa State had that very nice comeback win against Iowa, but you're going on the road to West Virginia. This could be an incredible atmosphere. Oh, by the way, Rocco Becht, the father of Anthony Becht, will be inducted into the Hall of Fame for West Virginia on this night. And I think Garrett Green is going to step up. He's rushed for over 85 yards in the last 2 games, the quarterback of West Virginia. I like West Virginia here, catching the number, catching 3 at home against Iowa State. I think they hand Iowa State their first loss of the year. Give me the home dog here, Matt, in West Virginia, as I continue to believe that the Big 12 will eat each other throughout the year here.
Cannibalize, in other words.
Yes.
You know, West Virginia almost made my list. Probably end up going to be in a – it probably will end up being a bet for me by Saturday. I just didn't have enough confidence in it to play it yet. But the more I look at it, Rocco Beck's been pretty good.
Yep.
66% completions, 9 touchdowns, 3 picks. Iowa State's got a respectable ground game. 5-0 against a pretty good schedule so far. But early in the season, this is what's held me back. I played West Virginia as a home dog against Penn State. You know, we talked about that home field in Morgantown with the Mountaineer running around with his coonskin cap, shooting off the musket, and the crowd going wild, and the home field advantage for West Virginia. And the Mountaineers just got dominated by Penn State in that game. And that still bothers me. Tim, it's still there in the back of my mind, and that's why I have not made the play yet. But I am leaning West Virginia like you.
Brad Howe, who covers West Virginia, gave me a whole bunch of notes. And he said that Neil Brown understood his John Heacock offense, that his offense would fare well against the John Heacock defense last year in a victory. Said he had answers for that Heacock defense. And he likes certain matchups, especially some injuries there for the Cyclones. So West Virginia, a best bet for me. Can't wait for this one. Also, late night in the Big 12, another spicy matchup, Matt. How about Kansas State, number 18, going on the road to Colorado? Both these teams coming off a bye. 10:15 Eastern on ESPN. The Travis Hunter for Heisman has continued to move, and you're seeing Colorado take some money in the market down to 3.5. My lean would be Kansas State here on the side. However, an official play for me was a prop. I don't know if I've ever given out a prop on this show, but I'm going to go Avery Johnson over 61.5 rushing yards, the quarterback of Kansas State. He is a youngster, right? A redshirt freshman, Matt, against Big 12 foes so far this year. 110 yards on the ground against Arizona, 74 yards on the ground against BYU in a loss, and then 60 yards against Oklahoma State. That was a blowout, though, so you probably didn't want to utilize your legs as much. And then you look at Colorado. Gave up 76 yards on the ground to KJ Jefferson 2 weeks ago at UCF. Sawyer Robertson, 82 yards on the ground for Baylor. The North Dakota State quarterback ran for 81 yards. So make sure you look around. Caesars William Hill, that had 61.5 minus 117 to the over. That's the one that I played. DraftKings was a little bit higher. FanDuel a little bit higher. But for me, Matt, I'm going with a prop. Maybe a first on the podcast. Avery Johnson over rushing yards in this late night affair in Boulder.
Sounds like a pretty good play. I've actually had a pretty good read on this Kansas State team, too. I was on Kansas State in that blowout win against Arizona on a Friday night, middle of September. I was against Kansas State at BYU. And that was a blowout winner in favor of BYU. Then I was on Kansas State again 2 weeks ago at home against Oklahoma State, another blowout winner. So 3-0 on K-State games, but I'm not going to play this one. I heard some handicappers on VSiN this week giving out K-State plays. I'm not going to do it. First of all, I don't like road favorites, and especially in college football. Road favorites are tough to play in conference games like this. Colorado, I'm just tired of doubting this Buffaloes team. You look at the defense, say, defense is not that good.
Can't better stop this year.
The defense has improved. Offensive line, you say, well, they can't protect the quarterback. And then the Buffaloes go to UCF and just totally destroy that UCF team on a day when a lot of sharp bettors were laying 14 with UCF. No, I'm not going to play against Colorado here. I think, you know, you've got the best two players on the field on the Colorado side, obviously, in Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders. And I think this team's actually coming together a little bit. I like your K-State prop play on quarterback rushing yards over, but I'm not going to lay the points here with K-State and Boulder.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch this one. There's another late-night game on the schedule. I know, Avery Johnson over rushing yards. It's going to be a good winner, I'm telling you right now. But we got Hawaii and Boise State we'll get to a little bit later on. We still have one more game in the spicy matchups. Arizona heads to Provo. Can BYU continue its unblemished mark against the spread? They're covering by 16 points per game. We'll hit that game and a bunch of letdown spots, which will lead to more plays. So stick around. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast running our way through the Week 7 card. Stick around here. Keep it rolling here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. A lot of dogs, no surprise here. Maybe a favorite or two that are going to slip in as official plays. We will get to those momentarily. But one more game in the spicy matchups, and it remains in the Big 12, Matt. A team that you and I bet a couple weeks ago in BYU, and they won that game outright against Kansas State. I faded them the following week, much to my chagrin. BYU is now 14th in the country. They are 5-0 against the spread. They are covering by 16.5 points per game. And they're taking on Arizona this week. Arizona, certainly a Jekyll and Hyde type of program. I was surprised how many folks at VSiN and in your contest loved Arizona last week as a road favorite.
Steve Fezzik being one.
And I ended up...
Actually, Arizona was a home favorite in that game.
Yeah, it's a home favorite. I beg your pardon. Texas Tech goes out and wins the game pretty convincingly over Arizona. So now
we talked about that on this podcast last week, and I had Texas Tech as a play in my VSIN column on Friday. Ended up playing Texas Tech. I don't know where all the love for Arizona came from last week. If you look at the Wildcats previous to the game last week against Texas Tech, what would impress you?
The win against Utah without Cam Rising?
No Cam Rising, and that was, I thought, kind of a fluke performance. And when you're off a big win like that, that's the time to bet against a team like Arizona that's a little fat and happy, not bet on the team. So I was really confused that some sharp handicappers came in on Arizona last week.
Well, money has come in on Arizona this week. Big noon kickoff, our good friend the Bear, Chris Felica, he'll be out in Provo as they will be taking this game in. No official play for me, a little lean towards Arizona here, but I can't really figure out this BYU team. I think they're just legitimately pretty good and have certainly a shot to win the Big 12 here. At some point, you know, it will come to an end. I was asked on a radio interview earlier this week, is BYU going to cover here? I was like, I guess I would say no, but no play for me. Any thoughts on BYU, Arizona?
Yeah, BYU's got a really strong home field. I prefer that home field at night. Yep. This is a game that kicks off at 1 in the afternoon Pacific time, so
2 o'clock local.
I am not going to be on BYU here. I think things have gone a little bit too well for the Cougars. They're probably not as good as the numbers indicate at this point. BYU is a 5-point favorite for much of this week, the number down to 3.5. And I can understand the Arizona love here, getting the points, especially more than a field goal. Jake Retzlaff is a quarterback I do like a lot. Kind of mini Taysom Hill, or a poor man's Taysom Hill, guy who can throw it with accuracy and also run the ball. But, you know, that was a very impressive win for BYU on the road last week. I don't think this is a real good situation with the Cougars coming home to face a Wildcats team that's off a bad home loss to Texas Tech. I don't like the situation the way it sets up here for BYU. And like you said, it kind of feels like this team is set up for a setback.
Yeah, so a lean for me on Arizona. Yeah. Market has moved that way. We'll see how this one plays out with a 4 o'clock Eastern kick time on Fox. All right. Letdown spots came home in glory last week, and none bigger than Alabama going to Vanderbilt and losing to the Commodores. So let's flip that one, Matt. And Vanderbilt heads on the road to Lexington to take on Kentucky. And this was a spot where I knew as soon as the line popped, it would go up. It opened 10 at circa.
Did you bet the 10?
I did not bet the 10. It lasted for, I think, a minute.
It didn't last long.
So I ended up laying 12.5 with Kentucky. It's now 13.5. Now, my worry would be this. Vanderbilt is a team that wants to slow it down. They want to minimize the possessions. We saw that last week. Clark Lee even said so in his press conference. I just don't know how you come off of that win, you rip the goalpost down, you walk them down Broadway, you throw them into a damn river, and now you got to go on the road and face Kentucky, who is chomping at the bit, is a good defensive team, night game in Lexington. You and I hate laying points. I'm going to lay it. I got to lay it with Kentucky here, and if they don't bring it home, hey, it was a risk I'm willing to take. Prove it to me, Vanderbilt. You just won the biggest game in school history by leaps and bounds. I got to lay it with a defensive-minded team coming off a bye. They were sitting there, I'm sure, watching Vanderbilt win this game, ripping down the goalposts. I think Kentucky, you see a really strong defensive effort. I think you see them slow Diego Pavi down as much as possible. If you want to go team total under instead of laying the chalk, I would understand that as well. Either one would be fine with me. I laid the chalk. I took a little team total under as well. Give me the Big Blue Nation here.
Yeah, I don't disagree at all. It's Kentucky or pass, and I did not lay the best number here, or a really good number, so I'm not going to lay it now at 13.5, and the situation just dictates play against Vandy, if anything, because I read somewhere last week, I heard somebody say, arguably the biggest win in Vandy history. There's no argument.
There's no argument.
It's by far the biggest win in Vandy history. There's not going to be one bigger. You're a 23-point underdog, and you knock off the number one team, Alabama. And you and I were both on Vandy last week. Played that a little first half. I was concerned, you know, about a Bama comeback in the second half. You wonder how many people lost money trying to bet Bama live, thinking they're going to come back and win the game.
I lost a little bit. I tried to middle it. I tried to be cute and took away from the rocking chair winner that was plus 23.
How about Kentucky? What Mark Stoops has accomplished this season. And a lot of times he's looked like a blowhard who's not coach. You know, he can't back up his big talk. But look what Kentucky's pulled off this season.
Beat Ole Miss.
Beat Ole Miss.
Beat South Carolina.
Beat South Carolina. There was another big win in there for Kentucky.
Earlier this year, they beat Ole Miss. They almost beat Georgia. They lost 13-12.
That's the game I was talking about.
Oh, I'm sorry. They lost to South Carolina. Whoops.
Yeah. They get
slipped
whipped.
There. They got whipped by South Carolina. Whipped, my bad.
Whipped by South Carolina, but the 13-12 loss to Georgia. Almost knocked off Georgia. Did knock off Ole Miss on the road. So Kentucky is, I want to say, a giant killer, even though they didn't kill Georgia. Had the chance to do it in that game. I would say Kentucky or pass.
All right. For another game, noon Eastern, 11 local on Fox, the big noon kickoff. We'll head to Kinnick Stadium. In Washington, you and I both had the Huskies last week. They storm the field. They get their revenge against Michigan. And now they have to travel to Iowa. Early kick time, right? 9 a.m. local kick time here. I like Iowa in this spot coming off a loss. I hate laying points with Iowa. So what I did earlier this week, I laid minus 40 on the money line. It's now minus 150. I think DraftKings is minus 148. So save yourself a couple pennies. But I like Iowa here. If you want to lay 2.5, which is out there, that's fine. But with Iowa, this could be 16-14. So let's lay the money line here. Give me Iowa in a really good spot, in my opinion, against Washington off of a win over Michigan.
I think the last 17 times Iowa's been a favorite by 3 points or fewer, the Hawkeyes won 16 of those.
Ooh.
And the loss by 1 point to Iowa State this season. So, yes, I'm not going to lay points with the Hawkeyes either. It's the Iowa Hawkeyes, Pittsburgh Steelers, right? You don't want to lay points with these offenses because they can grind out ugly wins, often by 1 or 2 points. So I also played Iowa minus 140 this week. And here, it's also a bit of a fade of Washington. That was the Huskies. Can we call it the Huskies Super Bowl last week? Because they also had a big game against Washington State. I think the Michigan game meant the most. And after the Huskies come back and beat Michigan in the rematch in the national championship game, the fans stormed the field. Mm-hmm. Everybody's fired up. Huge win for Jed Fish and the Washington program. Well, there's got to be an emotional letdown this week. Not only that, you have to go to Iowa City. This is never an easy trip. Never a fun trip. No team is better at grinding out ugly games than the Hawkeyes, who are rock solid defensively, have a stud running back again in Caleb Johnson, the Big Ten leader with 771 yards on the ground. Now, Washington does have an edge here at the quarterback, Will Rogers. 12 touchdown passes, one interception. He was a big reason I bet on Washington against Michigan a week ago. Here, I'm going to bank on the better defense, the home field, and the fact that Washington's going to have a bit of a letdown here. And I think Iowa on the money line is the play. Put it at minus 140. And Kirk Ferentz usually comes through in these situations.
Coming off a loss, too. So, yeah, you and I would like this for our Iowa win total over.
Yep.
Now, we both have UCLA win total under. And they are off to a 1-4 start, which is lovely. However, this spot this week facing Minnesota, fresh off of the win over USC, is a tasty one to back UCLA. I took the 5.5 earlier this week, Matt, in this situational spot. UCLA getting a little healthier. Ethan Garbers should be back. Deshaun Foster said it was spirited practice this week. I think UCLA, this is the spot to get Minnesota. By the way, playing their 7th straight game to start the year. Oof. Hold your nose. We're taking the Bruins late night at the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty obvious the Bruins looked really bad in a few games. But it's also true UCLA was really competitive in road losses to LSU and Penn State. Like I pointed out earlier, the Bruins allowed 85 rushing yards last week to Penn State. Biggest key in this matchup, slowing the Gophers' ground game. Another big key going to be the Bruins getting competent quarterback play. It looks like Ethan Garbers and Justin Martin, the sophomore, both could play in this game. Again, I'm fading these traditional Big Ten teams going to the West Coast. Taking the home dogs, Oregon, USC, UCLA this week.
All right. Hold your nose, ladies and gentlemen. We're back in the Bruins against the Gophers. You can't row a boat all the way out to UCLA. Hey, folks, make sure you stick around after we say the podcast is over. We're lying. We've got the Friday night games to get for you, as there are three games on Friday night, including a late night showdown in the desert. So stick around for a breakdown of the three Friday night games after we bid you farewell.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Putting a bow on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast Week 7. Loaded up Week 7, even though Week 6 was pretty good, with a lot of big-time favorites getting knocked off, a lot of road teams unable to cover, and one home dog that got there but should have got the victory. As we wrap up the letdown spots, Matt, would be the Cal Golden Bears. Cal up 35-10. This was a best bet for you. You had it plus 10.5. I tailed it. So it was an easy winner from that standpoint. But Miami crawls all the way back, got a fortunate whistle on a no targeting late in the game on the quarterback of Cal, Mendoza, that would have sewn up the game. And now you're Cal, and you got to travel all the way across the country to take on Pitt. Our colleague Stormy Bonatoni will be on the sidelines for this one, 3:30 Eastern on ESPN. Pitt, by the way, 5-0 straight up, 5-0 ATS. Had a couple fortunate games early on, but this offense might be legit with Eli Holstein. We talked a little bit about it earlier this week. So not an official play for me, but I ended up throwing in a little money line play on Pittsburgh at minus 165, Matt. I don't know how Cal comes back after that just brutal loss. You had College game day, everything going your way. You're up 25 on Miami, and you get your guts ripped out on the final play of the game, lose 39-38. So if Justin Wilcox could win this game, man, tip of the cap to you. But this is a brutal spot for Cal on the road at Pitt.
Not only that, there was targeting that should have been called on Miami, and Cal should have won the game after that targeting call. And the ACC officials said, "No, you know, we need Miami to win this game. Let's not call targeting." That was definite helmet to helmet. He launched himself at the defender. Look, I'm old school football. I don't like all this stuff. But you can't call targeting in all the other games. And then when it happens there against Miami, we're not going to call it now.
And that's now, look, conspiracy theorists be damned. But that's two straight weeks the ACC has looked out for Miami.
Yeah,
let's just call it what it is. And you can't fade Miami this week because they're on a bye. So not an official play, but Pitt, man, quietly 5-0. And Eli Holstein, as I mentioned, their quarterback's pretty impressive.
Very suspicious. This number opened 3 this week, and it just sat there for a couple days. And I said, why is this number 3?
Yep.
How did the Golden Bears get off the mat after what happened last week? 35-10, you blow that lead. That's a crushing loss on Saturday night when everyone was watching that game. I always put in a small underdog money line parlay each week. And it's a three-teamer typically. And last week, the money line parlay I had paid off over $4,000. Yeah. And it was Syracuse, Florida, and Cal.
Well, I'll say this. The Syracuse game, you got a little lucky on some drop picks there late in that one.
Doesn't matter. You're going to have to get lucky on something.
Man.
So you get your lucky break on the first game, and then you get incredibly unlucky on the last game. That's how you get your guts ripped out as a better, right? That's how tough it is sometimes to win.
I mean, the people booing, they're like, I can't believe it. I can't believe. You know,
I just don't know how the Golden Bears do get up off the mat here. Cross-country trip against a good Pitt team that's a little bit underrated, and I was surprised this number sat at 3 all week. I've got a friend in Pittsburgh, very sharp college capper. I haven't talked to him yet this week. I'm going to talk to him probably later today or tomorrow to see what he thinks about this game. But wasn't it suspicious to you this number just sat at 3 for 2 days? Pitt looked a little bit too obvious as a play here. I don't know how Cal can come back and do it this week.
I agree with that. The youngster, Cade Bell, the offensive coordinator for Pittsburgh. He was born in 1993, Matt, so he's a little bit younger than the two of us. All right, the best of the rest. We got one more best bet. Look, it wouldn't be Matt Eumanns if we didn't have a play on Boise State at Hawaii, the last game on the card, CBS Sports Network, 11 p.m. Eastern time. We've got Boise State on the road, taking on the Bows. Last game in the rotation, 205-206. Total 59.5. Believe it or not, it's come down a little bit. And the spread right now is 20.5. Boise State at Hawaii, sir. What do you got?
Well, I've got Hawaii. I took 21. And I think you got to get the full 21 here because this is going to be a shootout. And I would expect it to be a shootout Saturday night in Honolulu. And I'm going to take the home dog in Honolulu in this one. Ashton Gentry's getting a lot of hype, and it's well-deserved. Over 1,000 yards rushing, 16 touchdowns. Topped 180 yards in 4 of the 5 games. But I watched Hawaii closely, obviously, in each game. And watched the San Diego State performance against Hawaii last week. The Warriors' run defense has been respectable. And there's one thing Hawaii can do, and that's throw the ball. Braden Schrager, the senior quarterback, has really improved. He's getting smarter. He's not making as many dumb throws. He's got a great hookup with Pafeli Ashlock, his top receiver. Hey, guess what? Boise's defense allowed 507 total yards, including 372 through the air to Utah State last week. If that's a sign Boise's pass defense is a problem, that's something Hawaii can take advantage of here. Boise's going to win the game. That's a big number to cover, so I took the 21.
I'll pass this along. Brad Powers, Wednesday night on VSiN Primetime, his best bet over in Boise State and Hawaii. So I had to tail that. Maybe I'll tail you as well. You got to have action on the Hawaii game.
Gotcha.
Come on now.
Gotcha.
I mean, what are you, not American? You got to have Boise State, Hawaii, 11 o'clock Eastern, your final game on the board. I will say this. I put it out on social media more as a joke. I did bet it. The under Ashton Gentry rushing yards last week against Utah State, it was 192.5 at a spot in town. He had 186 yards at halftime. Didn't play the second half. Like you said, sometimes you need to get a little lucky, and I got very lucky on that one. If you're wondering, Gentry at FanDuel, 183.5. for his rushing prop. Before we get to our best bet recap, South Carolina's at Alabama, noon Eastern on ABC, Matt. I took a little Jalen Milrow this week, 11-1 to win the Heisman Trophy. Wasn't his fault that they lost there on the road at Vanderbilt. His numbers are pretty impressive. And then Washington State, Fresno State, a game that just missed my card. I know JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel, likes a bounce back spot here for Fresno State, catching 3.5. So just wanted to pass that along there. And anything you want to add on Purdue, Illinois?
Well, I think this, you know, in the first half of the Notre Dame-Purdue game, I thought that it looked like Purdue players had quit on the coach. And, you know, I've been fading Purdue each week since then. And, you know, I think this number's gotten to the point where the market's finally caught up. And Purdue actually, I think, has defeated Illinois 4 times in a row. And there's one spot on the Big Ten road where Purdue always tends to win, and it's Champaign. That said, there's no way in hell Purdue's going to win the game this week. But 23 is too high a number here. I couldn't play it. I mean, everything's gotten out of control. I think the market's corrected here on how does the Purdue players seem to have quit on the coach, Ryan Walters, who probably needs to be fired, probably should have been fired at halftime of the Notre Dame game. So, no play for me on this one.
Yeah, this number went from 18 at open all the way out to 23 on this one.
And last week, Purdue was taking money, and the line dropped from 14 to 12.
Matt, two or three weeks ago, people were betting Purdue like they knew the outcome against Oregon State.
I know.
I mean, it's unbelievable, but it has been ugly there for Purdue. All right. Let's do what we do to wrap up the show each and every week. We've handed out our plays. Let's make it nice and tidy to close it up. Our best bet recap.
Best bets recap.
All right, Mr. Humans, you lead us off, sir, with your best bets for week number 7.
I'm fired up about this week in college football, and that's why we're down here at the D to do this big preview show. I'm going to start off with Oklahoma plus 14.5. I got a lot of dogs on the card. Seven best bets, and six of them are dogs. Oklahoma plus 14.5. Last 10 meetings in the Red River Shootout, Sooners have won 7, have only lost one time by more than 7 points. I'm a little bit concerned about the freshman quarterback, Michael Hawkins Jr., but I do think that the Sooners are going to hang in there behind their defense, which is allowing 16 points per game. So let's go. And by the way, Quinn Ewers, I think, sitting out a month is going to be a concern. All right, just run through quickly. We've analyzed all these games. Oklahoma plus 14.5. LSU plus 3.5. UCLA plus 5. Oregon plus 3.5. Iowa on the money line, minus 140. USC plus 5. And Hawaii plus 21. Tim, take it away.
The Dogs hopefully will be barking for a second consecutive week. He's not going to say it, so I'll say it for him. 4-1 last week, 4-1 the week prior. So let's keep it rolling for Mr. Humans. He said it. He wants winners, and let's get some more winners. All right, my best bets, it was a auto play. If it doesn't come home, it's a risk I was willing to take. Gotta fade Vanderbilt. They were 0-60 against AP top 10 teams heading into last week. I'll lay the chalk with Kentucky off a bye, minus 13. Iowa, common play with me and Matt. I will lay the money line price with Iowa against Washington here. Give me West Virginia in the Cole Rush game, nighttime there in Morgantown, UCLA plus the points. And then Avery Johnson, the quarterback of Kansas State, over his rushing prop of 61.5. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Yes, sir. Let's keep it rolling. This has been the VSIN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
All right, bonus time as we continue to do this, our Friday night games. Friday nights, Matt, Dogs have been barking so far this year. If you look back at last week, a game that you and I both like, Syracuse catching 6 against UNLV. They were able to bring that one home. And this has been a situation where you continue to see these Dogs come on home, Matt. So will we see more Dogs be barking right now this year? 13-5 Dogs on Friday night. So we've got Northwestern at Maryland. Maryland is a 11-point home favorite against the Purple Cats. Utah State is catching 19 against the Rebels of UNLV. And news came out on Thursday afternoon, Matt, that Cam Rising will be playing. He will start.
You believe it?
I believe.
Are you sure?
I believe Brett McMurphy, America's Insider, yeah. And he is the one who's reporting it. So Utah is laying 6 on the road at Arizona State. Anything, Matt, for you of these three games jump out from a wagering standpoint?
I don't trust the Utes on the road laying points at Arizona State. I considered the Dog here, but didn't play it. And I'm tired of playing the Cameron Rising guessing game each week, but it looks like he's going to be out there. To me, he's played so infrequently or such spot action that it doesn't make a big – I don't think it makes a big difference in the number. Sun Devils will pass. I'm probably going to pass. Now, UNLV, Utah State's an interesting game. What an interesting crew of quarterbacks Utah State has assembled this year with Spencer Petras, Bryson Barnes. You know what? Last week, I thought it was interesting that Utah State rolled up 507 yards against Boise, 372 passing yards. Tim, is this not a flat spot for UNLV?
Yes, it is.
And also a look-ahead spot with Boise coming up on the schedule, right? So this is a kind of a sandwich spot or a troubling spot in the schedule for the Rebels. I think Barry Odom's going to have to do a lot of motivational tricks this week. Deflating loss to Syracuse, big game against Boise on deck. UNLV laying 19 on the road in Logan, Utah. No thanks. Utah State are pass for me. I haven't decided if I'm playing the Dog, but I'm not laying it with the Rebels, I can tell you that.
Yeah, Utah State showed some life. Now, this was the first of a handful of games that we saw Utah State or Utah play without Cam Rising, but Utah State played well against Utah, where it was able to cover that game. They actually trailed by just 3 at the half in that one. Then they went on the road and lost to Temple. Boom. So this has been a tricky team to figure out right. Because Temple is dreadful.
Well, that was a tough road trip with Temple, too. I was talking with Dan Saley, one of America's favorite college football handicappers.
At Bad right? Beat Bros.
Are you buying that?
Oh, yeah. I love Dan.
All right. So the night before the Utah State Temple game, I was talking with Dan in the Westgate Superbook, and he said, watch out. Temple can win that game tomorrow. And Dan was on the money with that call, and that was a tough road trip for Utah State. And I think this is going to be a tough road trip for the Rebels.
Yeah, I agree. I might look at 19 there with UNLV. This is a big spot for Barry Odom to, as you pointed out, to get his team off the mat. And Arizona State, you know, give them some credit this year, the way that they've been playing. Arizona State, so far this year, they had the come-from-behind win last week against Kansas. Kansas, yep. By the way, my God, 1-5. Wow. They have a positive point differential. It has been a brutal year for them. Sam Levitt can sling it, and Cameron Scatabo, 182 yards on the ground. So I would, if I had to guess, Matt, of these three games, I could find myself getting involved with Arizona State. I wonder if this is a situation where the Cam Rising news maybe inflates this line a little bit too much. Right now, sitting at 6, do we get a 6.5 out there? I could see myself getting involved with the Sun Devil. So of the three, right, I would probably lean most to Arizona State, and I could find myself involved with Arizona State here on Friday night.
I can tell you, if I have any bets on Friday night, it's going to be like beer and pizza money bets on Utah State and Arizona State. Nothing that's going to be big enough to say, hey, this is going to be a play. Follow me on this play. Now, it would be... I would consider playing the home dogs there in Logan, Utah, and Tempe, Arizona, but I'm not too excited about it. Let's put it that way. And like you said, if you can get 7 with Arizona State, then it's definitely a play for me. I don't know if you're going to get it. I don't think you're going to get 20 or 21 with Utah State.
You can follow Matt on Twitter, at MattHumans247. You can follow me, at 1TimMurray. Check out the VSiN College Football Tailgate Show every Saturday starting at 10 a.m.
What a
Eastern.
Show. By the way, America's favorite college football pregame show right here from the D with Tim Murray.
That's right. And you know who usually joins me? This guy, Matt Humans, to break it down for us there, 11:15 Eastern time.
Who cares
time.
About ESPN College Game Day, Fox Big Noon Kickoff? Tune in to the Tim Murray Show.
That's right, the VSiN College Football Tailgate Show. My hype man, he's Matt Humans. I'm Tim Murray. Thanks to Wyatt. Thanks to Ryan Hunter, our producer, as well. Once again, this has been the VSiN College Football Tailgate Show. We want winners, right, Matt? We want winners. We'll talk to you next week.